thankful to be here. Thankful for this opportunity. Scared to death. I wanted to start by just saying thank you for all the hospitality, as well as others have said. And it's my first time here, and even though there are many here that are not new to me, and Pleasant Grove Church sends its love as well. And there were many who asked me to express that to you, and I just have never had the opportunity in the past to be able to make it, and I did this time, and they all, for whatever reason, couldn't. But I certainly see why they enjoy being here, and hope that the Lord will bless me to return in the future as well. And so I'm thankful for all that. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul's letter to Philippians, in the third chapter, I would, if I could, right now, what I desire more than anything else is that I may apprehend that for which I'm apprehended in Christ Jesus. Be blessed right now. My text would be starting in the 13th verse. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." Now, these words are the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi there, and so he apparently has something that he says that he needs to forget. Now, the scriptures don't contradict themselves, but if we turned over to Corinthians, and then you don't have to follow me at all these different places, but in the 11th chapter of Philippians, he starts off here and he says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned." Let's see here. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and in perils among false brethren. Now, he was remembering something there. And if you listen to his preaching in other places, it was real common for him to say, in my language, you know what? I was on my way to Damascus, and this happened. I was struck down. And so those were things that he remembered. Absolutely. But in Philippians, he's saying here, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before." And so apparently there was something that he needed to let go of, that he needed to be able to forget. You know, when the Lord changes our heart, if you have a remembrance of when that happens, your heart gets changed, but your mind still knows all that you were before. And the Apostle Paul had a reputation. I mean, he had went about being very zealous, persecuting the church, and now then he's been called to preach to the very people that he put in prison and that he tried to kill or did kill. We know from what the brother said the other night and what the scripture teaches, we know that he held those clothes when Stephen was stoned, and he heard Stephen say what he said. Heard what Stephen could see, that he's seen the Lord standing at the right hand. Standing, I think that's significant there. Every place else it talks about him sitting. In that instance, he was standing for what was happening there. And then Stephen says, "Lay not this to their charge." And now then, this same man's been struck down. And he just says over there that he was stoned. I wonder what kind of an experience that was for Paul. It wouldn't be a good experience for anybody. But if you had held those clothes, well, they did that to somebody else. And now, he told that brother that he's a vessel. He's chained. He prayed. Now, so there were some things that he needed to be able to forget. He had to be able to let loose of some things. And I would just ask you that today, there are some things that I need to be able to let loose of, that I need to be able to get past. There are things that crop up all the time. It's not anything that's new. You know, you can read back over there. There's nothing new under the sun. And so today, I guess to me, this scripture is, it's almost like he's, to me, I need to draw this line in the sand and say we go on from here. That stuff is behind. And we do that on a daily basis, because up here just a little bit before this, in the 10th verse, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. If we're not suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're not suffering, if we're not meeting up with Satan and realizing that we're at war with him, then I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's because you got hold of Satan's hand and you're moving along the same direction with him. And so I pray that I be able to, the Lord says that we're blessed whenever we're persecuted for him. And so we have to be able to know that we should be feeling that. That means that we're engaged in the battle. Whenever we can feel that he's there and that there's a stress with that. And so we have to be able to move forward. And it's been mentioned already, but I'm very concerned with the United States of America and with what's going on. And yes, the Lord's in power and has been, will be. He was, is, and always will be. He is the I am. But for us to make a change, that needs to start first with me in my life. I need to do a better job starting now than what I did in the past. And as godly men in our families, then I have to get my act together, and then I have to get my, and then I have to be like that in my family, and then my church, and then my community. Those institutions, the Lord instituted the institution of the family, the church, and government. And each one of those was to support the one below that, And so when the government steps over the boundaries of supporting and protecting the church and the family, then it's about as far out of bounds as it can get. Okay? And so we have to be able to start at each one of our lives that we've got to draw a line in the sand and say, that I'm going to forget these other things that was in my past and step out and try as much as possible through the leading of the Spirit and everything to be able to stay in the way. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that old brother that someone quoted from before there in the Old Testament said, I being in the way, the Lord led me unto the house of my master's brother. And you know what? I've experienced that right here. I've been led to the house of my master's brother, and it's been a blessing to be able to be here. You know, there So there are those things that we have to be able to forget, that we have to be able to leave behind. And if I could maybe take you to another place in the scriptures that I think will fit in with this, if we could turn over to John. Brother Daniels, you preached on this to us when you came up there to Pleasant Grove, but you know, when the Lord in that upper room, when he reaches down there and he girds himself with a towel and he reaches down to wash his disciples' feet, he needed to get some things off of their feet that was from the past that they had brought to that situation. There were some things that needed to be washed off. And we know the symbolism in the fact that then when our someone else mentioned that there's been so much fellowship and so much wonderful conversation back there that I'm confused in what preaching I've heard back here and back there, and I'm not sure there's any difference as far as the quality for sure. If the Holy Spirit's there, then it's good, whether it's one or two or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, the brother, I think he's left and went back to Arkansas. I'm pretty sure now. But he stated that it used to really, really affect him that he was washing somebody else's feet. And now then it really, really affected him who was washing his feet. Brother Daniel's washed my feet. I tell you what, there's some things that need to be gone. They don't need to come back. I don't need to walk there anymore. And so I need to forget those things that are behind. And here Peter says, it's hard for me to just stop and just say it in my own life. You know, oh no, you're not going to do that to me. I tell you, sometimes I wish I was more like John than Peter. But it doesn't seem like that's the case all the time. But he always just jumped out there and opened his mouth when he should have been listening, maybe. But there's an amazing transition if you start with all of those things through the Gospels of what happened to Peter, and then you go back over like that brother preached to us then from Peter. You read that those short books of Peter there. There's a perfect, if you'll allow me to use that word in the way that the scriptures use it. You know, here's somebody now that's whole. Someone that gets it. There's a tremendous growth process there. And I don't care today whether you're, you know, 8 or 80. If you're still here, then you need to be growing. The Lord's still got a work for you. He's still got a purpose for you. And if you're young, there's a reason why when you go back to those reunions that you can't fit in that kindergarten desk. Because you've grown. Doesn't work anymore. And so we shouldn't be satisfied from a growth standpoint as far as how we were yesterday. But you know, I wanted to get back to this washing part here. I don't even know what time I started. When Lord, he says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And then Peter says, in my language, wash all of me then. But he more specifically says, wash my feet, my hands, and my head. Watch where I walk. Watch what I do with my hands. And watch where my mind goes. You know, we've known brothers and sisters, and maybe you've experienced it yourself already, where you've been in a situation, where you've been in a hospital or something, and you've been unable to wash yourself. And it's a very humbling experience, and to have somebody else do that. I tell you, when you talk about from a sin standpoint, I don't know about you, but I got things that I don't want you washing, that I don't want you to know about. But the Lord knows. And He can wash that. And you can leave that behind.
Amen.
And you can press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Press on in Him. And so what's that look like then? What's that look like in your life to leave that and move on? What's it look like? Because just a little bit later on here, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Before that, He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And then He says, that ye also love one another. A little bit of emphasis on that. Can you get the picture here? I love this part of John, because I think of this when the brother was preaching about, behold, what manner of love is this? When these men, when Christ, with 11, steps out of here in the dark and walks however far that was through the streets of Jerusalem, and then heads out a gate and starts down a trail leading to that garden. There are several chapters here that happened with just them. And He says, little children, oh, what manner of love is that? Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, and ye shall seek Me. As I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot go. But they had already said, it gets blamed on Peter, because it says in one of the Gospels that Peter said, I'll go with you always. I'm not going to leave you. I got your back. Okay, and then there's another Gospel that says they all said that. It wasn't just Peter. And so they're here now, and He's saying a little while, and I'm going to be gone. And then He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's what it looks like. It looks like love whenever you're in the way. You know, if we went back, somebody mentioned about somebody talking about doing away with the Old Testament, and, you know, I mean, they obviously weren't agreeing with that. But there are those that... all those commandments over there are in that commandment.
Yes.
Whenever He says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind, and then love one another, they're all included in that.
Yes.
So we shouldn't get rid of those things. We certainly shouldn't get rid of them out of our lives. And in my opinion, we don't need to get rid of them out of the courthouses or the schools or anywhere else, because we need those things. And if you turn over to Galatians, where it talks about the... Galatians was here a while ago. If you turn over to Galatians, where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, if you really study into that, I believe, into those commandments, and you want to know what it looks like when you're keeping all 10 of those, it looks like that. It looks like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's no law against those things. And we don't break those commandments. We break ourselves against them. They're not going to be broken. They're going to stand, sure, even when that first tablet got broke. You know, they may have been broke on that rock, but they weren't broke. they still stand. And when we keep them, then we bear fruit. And we're in the way. And we're able to have, somebody said, and I think it was back there, not to keep confusing you, but love is the fruit of the Spirit, and then all those other things are what love looks like in our life. And so when you're in the way, and when you've let go of those things that are from behind, and you're moving forward, then that's what it looks like. And you know what else is called in another place? It's called great things. Our Lord said greater things. Now how can you do, or I, how in the world can I do something greater than what the Lord did? But when his Spirit is working through me, and when his Spirit is directing my feet and my hands and my mind, and that Spirit flows through me, then this is sinful flesh. I'm not perfect. And when someone can see that flowing through sinful flesh, that's a greater thing. That's what it is. That's what it looks like. It looks like these things. And it looks, it's a greater thing. You know, there's a, over in, I'll go one more place. As far as what we need to leave behind. In Hebrews, it says in the 12th chapter, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I believe, you know, you can interpret that however you want to, and it can be done a lot of different ways, but I had a real cloud of witnesses so far this weekend, right here. And so I don't think he's just talking about all those folks as being cloud of witnesses there. They are, and I'm not denying that. But I think that we also, he says, are compassed about with a cloud of witnesses. So you, brethren, have been a witness to me. And so, because of that, let us lay aside, kick it to the corner, to the curb. Forget about it. Leave it. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, that sounds like Paul. It is Paul, as far as I'm concerned, but like he said a while ago, toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. It is that. And then he says here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, it doesn't say, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which does so easily. It says the sin. Well, what sin is that? Well, all this before has been talking about faith. If you lose faith, the sin of losing your faith, and what I'm trying to say, the sin of losing that faith is what you need to lay aside. Okay? And then you're not only going to be in the way, but he says you're going to be running a race now. Let us run with patience the race. You know, I try to run some, and I'm sure you're not going to believe that by looking at me, but I do, regardless. I had a little bit of a hard time with that for a while because I wasn't sure how you could run a race and be patient. Because I've gotten my attitude and my eyes on winning. If you knew me very well, you'd know that I can be competitive. And that's maybe not a good thing. But so how do you run with patience? You know, we need to have it planned. It needs to be, I mean, when back in the in Isaiah, when he talks about they that wait upon the Lord, when you're running this race, you need to be waiting. That's patience. And waiting in that verse, as far as I can tell, doesn't mean that you're standing still. They that wait upon the Lord. If you're waiting upon the Lord, you're not standing still. You've got to work. You're in the way. You've got something that you've got to do. Something you. If you're breathing here, then you've got something to be working on. Something that the Lord has called for just you to do. It may, as it says over there in Esther, and in my words again, it may be for a time like this that you've been called. Who knows? You think Paul had any idea when he started off to Damascus what was going to happen? Yeah, that he was going to be the one that was going to get arrested. Smack down on his way. I don't think he had any idea that I thought he thought it was going along pretty smooth. Yeah, it says that he'd been kicking against the pricks, but so far that'd been working for him. Yeah, he'd been kicking against it, but he was still charging through doing what he was going to do. But this scripture later on in Philippians then says that there are some of those things that, you know, now then that he needed to lay behind him and leave behind. He needed to forget those things and to be able to move forward away from those things. We have a tendency, I do, to blame our president. It's an easy one right now to blame for a lot of things. But the fact that he got elected shows that he's not the problem. Okay? He's the symptom, not the disease. Okay? The disease is in us. It's called sin. and we need to be able to lay some of those things behind us and forget them and move ahead. There are polls that say that 67 to 70% of the United States claims to be Christian. It's impossible for Obama to be elected and that to be true. It's impossible if they're acting Christians. Okay? We've got secret agent Christians. We call them back home, you know. They want to, you know, there's a verse in the scripture. Instead of just saying that, it's always better to, it says, in that day, seven women shall lay hold upon one man. Say, we want to be called by your name. But you know what? We really want to kind of live and be the way that we always were. You know, but we want to be called by your name. So, I tell you, there's another thing back home. We say that our brother Russell Key always said this when I was growing up. He said, if you were convicted for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence? I know, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Well, I pray that there'd be enough evidence in my life that you could convict me. And I want today then, and I challenge you, to press on, forgetting those things which are behind. Let's do that. Forget that. And press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. I appreciate your time. I love you.